Love Talk Radio. Welcome to Solomon's Porch Ministry. We thank you for tuning in to our Sunday broadcast with Pastor Philip Moses. As you listen to today's message, may it refresh and revive your spirit and connect you to your purpose. Now introducing Pastor Philip Moses.
So we're going to read this verse of scripture together on my count of three. I want you to lock in with your neighbor. It becomes very vital that you lock in with your neighbor, because I want this thing to be almost like an orchestrated assembly. Amen. That we read it together. So on my count of three, I want you to read that verse of scripture together. Luke 10, verse 29. On my count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh man, y'all read that justice. We can y'all do it. I know we practice that. But this time let's do it for, come on, let's do it for heaven, amen. We want heaven to resonate, amen. So if you would, on my count of three, 1, 2, 3. Amen. Give God a bigger hand praise. Take a seat. I just feel like there was much energy in that, but I'm telling you, what a power that God is speaking to our hearts now. Concerning, we actually, this month is the month of relationship. We thought because of the pagan holiday, Valentine's Day, and I don't want to put any shade on anybody that got big plans for Valentine's Day. But it is a pagan holiday, but I thought it would be great to talk about relationship. Amen. I think one of the hardest things for the body of Christ to realize is how important relationship is. As I said last week, relationships are all through the Bible. Amen? We should understand that relationships is what makes the world go round. Amen? And God absolutely knew that, because he gave us relationship after relationship and pretty much gave us the formula for how relationships ought to work. You're probably in a bad place if you don't have a relationship format in your life that works. Amen? Amen. I get it. Amen. I heard somebody on the blog, somebody live in the broadcast audience say amen. My studio audience didn't say a word. Amen. But we literally are going to talk about relationship from this vantage point today. If I had to name this message, it would be like a good neighbor, a Christian should be there. Amen. And I stole that one, amen. But it's so true. We literally need to understand we need to be each other's neighbor. Now, today, I think what the problem is, and as we read the scripture, we're going to kind of do a little litmus test on where you are in relationship. But it's interesting, though, how many of us really don't know how to be in relationship one with another, amen. But I think today, we're going to learn about relationship. We're going to learn what our neighbor is. The Bible talks about loving your neighbor. How many people know who is your neighbor? I'm saying something good. Some of us believe that a neighbor, and I'm jumping on into the message now, but some of us believe that a neighbor is somebody who lives adjacent to you, somebody on your block. Amen. That would be considered your neighbor. Amen. So if that be the case, all I got to do is keep my block right. Amen. I'm saying something now. How about the Jews, though, back in this biblical time? The Jews felt like the neighbor was anybody from the Hebrew nation. Amen. So they absolutely thought that if you were an Israelite, you were a neighbor. I'm saying something to somebody. Amen. So it becomes interesting what a neighbor is. You know, we're going to learn today what a neighbor is. We're going to figure out how can we love our neighbor. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to read the scripture that's literally been our jump-off point for this script, for this message series. And I think it's in Matthew 22 and 37. If you get there before me, say amen. No, you didn't, because I'm back. You there? Hey, amen. Give me an amen. But I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Y'all must have y'all devices. Y'all been there way before me. Amen. But Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Y'all remember this last week. With all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said this was the first and great commandment. So as we think about what's important to God, this is Jesus talking here. You go back to the original scripture, Luke 10. You Luke 10, I think we're at verse 29. But it's interesting what he says in Matthew there, that the greatest commandment is for us first to love God, amen, and have an understanding of how to love God. Then he says secondarily that we don't read that, but he says secondarily we should love our neighbor, amen. But it becomes very vital for us to understand we must learn to love God and then learn to love our neighbor. This is one of the most important things Jesus said in terms of the question of what's the greatest commandment. What's the greatest thing we need to do as believers? And that is love God and then love our neighbor. Amen. We're there. So it says in Luke 10, verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? What a poignant question. What a great question to ask. I believe in this hour when folk can't get along with folk, church can't get along with church. I'm saying something now. Preacher can't get along with preacher. Amen. We have an issue with loving our neighbor. How to be in relationship one with another. And I believe this scripture will give us kind of the explanation on how we are to be in relationship. So I'm going to break this down. We're going to the engine of relationship, and it says in verse number 29 again, but he, and I've got to kind of explain to you the histrionics, if you will, the historicity, if you will, of the he, that pronoun reference. He is talking about this lawyer. I think he was a Pharisee or a scribe. What am I saying? Well, back in the day, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, these were lawyers. The Bible called them lawyers because they were literally, they knew the scriptures. They were doctors in the law. They were experts in the Jewish law and even rabbinical law. And let me speak a little bit about that big word, rabbinical. It's nothing but a word called rabbi. But back in that day, the rabbis would take the written word, the Torah, the Mosaic law, the word of God, and they would add some old traditions to it. They would add their own kind of laws to it. And that's how they got so mixed up when Jesus came. Right. They had so many laws, they had created laws, that when Jesus, God himself, showed up, they didn't recognize it. Right. Because they had religion, but they had no relationship. It becomes very vital that we understand, as we talk about the he in the scripture. And I really need somebody on projection, because I think this, I'm gonna spend a lot of time here on the floor. I got to get this, amen. Amen. The he that the scripture is talking about is the doctor of the law, amen. But it becomes vital for us to realize that the he may be us if we don't get ourselves together, relationship. Amen. So this was the Bible says that he, which was this lawyer, was willing to justify himself. Up and said unto Jesus. Now, before we get into what he said to Jesus, we need to understand why was he trying to justify himself. And justifying just means to make righteous. He wanted to make himself right. Now, I think we're going to go back a couple of scriptures. We're going to go back and get some things to figure out why was this Pharisee, this expert in the law, why was he trying to get justified relative to relationships? Amen. So, if we can go back,
what I'm doing, right?
I think you make it to the verses back.
I don't know what he had.
The verse number 26.
Yeah, Luke.
No, let's go to 25. Let's really check this thing. You're there? Luke 10, 25. And it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. And this is the guy I'm talking about, this Pharisee. This guy who was adopting the law. This guy was consistent with the Mosaic law. This guy knew the word of God. Amen. We got a lot of people who know the word of God, don't know Jesus. Come on, say something. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and he tempted Jesus. How did he tempt him? He tested. Why was he testing Jesus? Well, he was trying to trip Jesus up. Amen. He was trying to get Jesus in a bad place so he could call Jesus a blasphemer. Come on, now, Jesus was telling the people that he was God. I'm saying something, and they didn't believe it. They didn't even know that this was God. Amen. So, and they tempted him, saying, Master, listen to me now. This was the lawyer's first question to Jesus. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm loving this question because I think more believers need to consistently ask yourself, what is it that gives me eternal life? I like that word eternal life, because everybody, once you die, don't want to be morbid, but once you die, you're going to have eternal life. Did everybody know that? Good, bad, ugly. But you're going to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to either be in hell forever, or you're going to be in heaven forever. Amen. So when he talks about this eternal life, he's really talking about a heavenly eternal life. Amen. So he asked Jesus, he said, what shall I do to inherit this eternal life? I like this question, because this should be the question on our heart. My question to you, and you don't have to answer that out loud. But what can you do to inherit eternal life? So this is a question, I think, was a very good question. But this guy was just doing it just to mess Jesus up. Amen. And Jesus said unto him in verse 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law of how we decide? Nobody is asking what's in the book. Did Jesus not know the book? He knew the book. And he knew that they were doctors. These guys were literally experts in Jewish law. They knew the Mosaic law. They knew, they should have known what it took to have eternal life. Amen. Just like some of us know the book. But do we really know what it takes to have eternal life? Amen. Amen. I'm saying some good stuff. So he said to him, what is written in the law and how can you read? The fact that you know this word of God, you church guy, you church leader, you need. Amen. Unclean Philistine. We're all of that. Because this is exactly where this guy who's the church guy this time, this is where he stood. He stood in the faith where he thought Jesus was God, but he thought he could trip Jesus up. So what is written in the law and how we decide? You've been reading this book all your life. You are a lawyer. In fact, in those days, the lawyers, they were experts in the written word of God. Amen. Now the lawyers are just liars. I'm not put down a profession. I know some good lawyers. Amen. But it's just so interesting that lawyers have got such a bad rap.
Amen.
But in this time, now the lawyers were those people who knew the Bible. We got lawyers in here. Come on, say some good stuff. Who really know the word of God. Amen. And listen. Amen. And he asked him, now, how do you read the Bible? How does it read to you in terms of eternal life? Amen. And look how he answered him in the next verse. You with me? Verse number 27. And he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't it amazing that he knew exactly the word concerning eternal life, but didn't know God? See, relationship is a deep thing, man. It's deeper than you just memorizing some of the scripture. I'm saying something to somebody. It's deeper than you calling yourself and professing that you're a Christian. You got to have a relationship.
That's right.
At one point, you're going to have to get to know the man. I'm saying something
now. Well, we had enough.
So this guy who was proficient and expert in the law didn't know who Jesus was. He knew the word, though. He knew exactly what it required for eternal life. The fact that you got to love God with all your soul. We did that last week so good. Talking about how to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. The Bible doesn't say that love was part of that. God wants your whole mind, your whole heart. He wants your whole soul. And how about we just bring God our heart, our soul, and our mind on Sunday morning between 2 and 11? How dare you? He wants it all. All the time, always. He wants all of you. There's no way you're going to know him and be in a relationship until you have. He has all your mind, your soul, and your mind. Yeah. You got to love him with that. Amen.
Amen.
And I talked about last week, partial love. You got to get that CD. It was so good. Amen. It was so good to me, at least. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Which was the second, but it was the equal commandment, but it was the second most important commandment to Jesus. Loving God, but then loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to talk about something that's pretty interesting. He said, how do you inherit eternal life? You know what this becomes to me then? This is a heaven and hell question. If I inherit heaven and hell because of my relationship with God, but then secondly and more important, have to love my neighbor. Some of us are in trouble. Look around the room. Some of us are in trouble. Because we got to figure out how can we love our neighbor if we won't inherit heaven. Now, you know, I get many amens from some of y'all might think, oh, you might not want heaven. That's why I got saved. I'm trying to get the help. Amen. Say what you want to and say that was the wrong thing. But that's why. So when I hear this question, this resonates with me. I'm not doing the church thing just because it looks good. Amen. I'm doing it because I've got a mission here on earth, but I know, listen, I know my goal, my place, my focus is that I get to a place called heaven. So he's saying here, Jesus is telling us, this is how you get there. You want to love me, but you got to love me special. You got to love me with everything within you. Then you got to learn how to love. Look around the room. Your name. What things are your names? I don't know. We're going to learn today, though. Who's your name? I'm going to get you to heaven today.
Amen.
You're going to leave this room. You might not be going, but you're going to know how to get to heaven. Because we have to learn who is our neighbor. I used to think my next door neighbor was my neighbor. And let me tell you something. I built a problem with it. I tell this story. I'm on the Adam, so I can tell the story and everybody can hear it. Amen. My next door neighbor got a big dog, a big rock wow. Oh, he's a big boy. He called him to be the Lord. Straight dog. Big dog. But anyway, one day I was coming outside taking my daughter to elementary school. And she walks out the door. Well, I walk out the door first, and she walks out behind. Well, and I forget this guy, the dog's name, Roxy. So Roxy joined. He was next. They were doing gardening next door, adjacent to my door. And as soon as Roxy saw me, he took off running. He came after me. His dog was big, running after me, and literally he just got to my leg and hit my leg. He hit my leg like this. Well, by the time he had hit my leg, I was spinning, turning around, because mainly my dog was behind. Come on, I love my dog. Yeah. And if Rocky, he would have messed up had he gone to Mandy. But anyway, I was turning around because I was trying to get Mandy into safety. Well, by the time I turn around, I hear the door slam. Make her run out, slam the door. And I'm going to come in with her. She done locked the door. I'm going to get it. As I think about it, I'm going to get it. But it's interesting now. After that, I went to my neighbor. I went to him, and I said, that dog, ever. And I was, I was bad. He had taken me to the highest level. If that dog, ever, gets loose and touches me or anybody in my family, I'm going to kill him. I met him with, I ain't got a dog. Well, I was going to kill him. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
So at that point, I started feeling a certain way, as the young people say, about my name. Never did I really love my name. I'm going to be honest with you. Because they were sitting right there and witnessed this attack. And did absolutely nothing until I talked to them. So I got to follow my neighbor now. Now I'm getting over.
That's good. We're with you.
Today, we're going to not only learn how to love our neighbor, we're going to figure out who our neighbor is. What about my neighbor?
Right.
But we're going to do it through scripture. That ain't going to do it through, this ain't going to be subjective. It's going to literally be the word of God. Because I need to know who my neighbor is. Because I'm heaven bound, amen? And I think this is something you need to learn, amen? So it becomes vital when you can drop down to verse number 29 in Luke 10. But he willing to justify himself. Now he's in the place now where he wanted to justify himself. Amen. He wanted to make himself right in the eyes of God. He understood that he had to love God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and he had to love his neighbor as himself. So he's getting ready to ask this question. The Bible says he asked 29. Oh, no, let's go to 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This is what Jesus said. You've answered question right. You knew the answer to eternal life. He said, now this you need to do, and thou shalt live. Now, he was telling this church guy, we'll talk about this a little later, he was telling this Pharisee, he was saying, if you do this, you're in right. But he knew he was talking to somebody who didn't even believe in him. I'm saying something to somebody. So this was a challenge. And then we get to verse number 29. It says, but he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, now who is my people? What a great question. All these years, we've probably been thinking that our neighbor is somebody he really hates. Oh, it could be somebody like me who you hate. I don't think that's a strong word. I got a song this last week. Yeah, man. When you put my family at home, sweat. Amen. But when your dog touched my leg.
Come on. Right there.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Look at me. I'm just being real. All right. So, but he asked the question, and who is my name? So this becomes now the question of the day. Who is your name? But I believe that there's some mistakes. Three mistakes that I want to talk about that I believe that this lawyer, this guy who's an expert in Jewish law and rabbinical law, I think there were some mistakes that he made. And I wrote these down. The first mistake he made was assuming that he fulfilled the first commandment. See, he jumped away from loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. He went straight to who is my neighbor, thinking that he's already accomplished and fulfilled how to love God with all your heart, all your soul. He assumed that he had done that already. I'm telling you, we got to do first things first. Do you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength? That's something you got to analyze. As we pursue our relationship, we got to first have the right relationship with God. Amen? Have you considered that? Amen? So, that was the first mistake he made. He assuming that he fulfilled the first commandment that he loved his God. Number two, I think assuming you can love God and not love your neighbor. I think that's a big mistake. How can I love God with my whole heart, my whole mind, my strength, and not know how to love my neighbor?
All right.
I think that's about the moron. But a lot of us say, you know what I can't stand for? But I love God. That becomes problematic for the believer. How can you say, and I think this is in 1 John 4:10, around 10, somewhere in there, but there's a scripture that says, how can you say you love
your brother.
You love God who you can't see, but your brother who you can see, you hate him. How in the world can those two work? But it becomes now a very interesting subject. He assumed that he loved, that he first loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. But how could he if he's asked the question, who's my neighbor? He don't even love his neighbor. He hated the very Jesus, the very God that was before. Because he didn't know who he was. Amen. Third mistake he made. Amen. The third mistake he made was the definition of the name. See, at that time, the Jews thought that anyone from the Hebrew nation was your name. So if you were Israelite, come on now, say something now. If you were Israelite, you were their name. So all they loved was what was inside their culture. You know what that tells me, though? That it's easy to love folks who look like you, who talk like you. I'm going to go over this one, because I see how mad folks get. Who walk like you. Come on now. Who live in your own house. Come on, I'm going to go over this. Oh, y'all about to check some real stuff out of me. It's easy to love those folks, man, that look like you. But the question is, Is that your neighbor? Oh, I love it. But they mistake was that they assumed that you were Israelite. You were using their name. After they're about to be awakened, hey, that whole thing is about to be reawakened. Amen. That whole thought process. God is about to illuminate that Bible, while he's illuminating this lawyer's heart, these Pharisees. He's about to change our heart too. Because I don't think everybody who calls himself Christian knows what the next day for Jesus. I thought my neighbor was next to old Rocky. Amen. I'm saying something there. But it becomes very vital that we know who our neighbor is. I think it's heaven and hell conversation. How can you inherit eternal life? You got to love God first. And then you got to learn how to love your neighbor. So he's asking now, who is my neighbor? And I love Jesus. Because Jesus don't waste time talking about who his name is. But can I say that Jesus began to answer the question with Pharaoh? Anybody know what Pharaoh is? It's a spiritual illustration of something. Listen, they saw something natural to give you the answer to something that's spiritual. So he starts with a natural illustration, and then he'll give you an understanding of something spiritual. So Jesus gives him a barrel. Jesus, I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to show you what his name is. Amen? So let's keep reading. Amen. Verse number 30. And Jesus answering, this is good. I know all y'all read this before, but every time I read like this, I get happy in my spirit. Amen. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Can I stop right there? How about the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? I read this. How about it was a rough road?
Yeah.
All kind of
hooligans. Yeah, robbers.
Hooligans,
yeah.
Robbers.
Yeah.
These kind of people along this route. It's kind of like going through
East Lake.
Somewhere in East Lake, Louis. One of the rough streets in Chicago. Amen. Somebody in everybody. Somebody in Oakland. Amen. I didn't want to talk about the King of Jordan. Amen. But it was a rough area. Going from Jerusalem to Jericho was a rough, this was a rough ride. And usually you go there, you get robbed. They come and take your stuff. Come on now. So, this being this rough ride, look what Jesus said. Now, given, and they understood this. These attorneys, these lawyers of that day understood that going from Jerusalem to Jericho, they understood that this was a rough road. So now Jesus talking to them. They perked up. Oh, that's a rough road, man. Amen. And let me say, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. This is going to be good in a minute. I'm going to come back and get that. They fell among thieves, just robbers, which stripped him of his clothing. This is a dirty guy. Dirty guy that will strip you of his. Just make you new. Amen. And wounded him. So they beat him a little bit. Come on now. Then they departed and leaving them half dead. Now, when I look at that, the Spirit instantly spoke. That this is not so much a physical thing as it is spiritual. It is amazing when the Bible talks about things in the book of John. Can it that the thief come up but to kill, kill, and destroy? I see this not being spiritual. They're walking down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is the world system. That's evil. It is a mess. I'm saying something. And we're in this world system. And isn't it amazing how the world system would do three things? The world system, number one, it's going to strip you of your clothes. And to me, the clothing is your righteousness. The first thing the world wants, it wants your righteousness. Oh, well, man, you are heathen.
Yeah.
Because living for God, I'm telling you, that becomes a challenge in this world system.
That's true.
I'm saying something now. The next thing is, it'll wound you. It'll tear you down. And a lot of us are broken and wounded from the world system. Relations, bad relationships and stuff we're going through. Come on now. Some of us, our very parents were do we encounter these thieves, but they strip you of your clothing, and they wound you, and when they departed, they left them half dead. And that's exactly what this world is doing. Leave me half dead. Most of us who call ourselves Christians, honestly, we have this. Spiritually, we don't have full life in us because our relationships are all back. That's when we get quiet. The Bible says in Corinthians, because they took the communion unworthily. In other words, they were in a bad place with their relationship, had all against their brother, mother, whatever. The Bible says someone sick. Some because they did not discern the Lord's body. They literally have gone into relationship and talk about their relationship with God, but their relationship with man is a mess.
You can.
Oh, say it for yourself. So it says, the left them half dead. So I believe this begins to talk about something, and I want you to write this word down. Lost. Because I think this is the very definition of who your name is. It's this guy, listen to me now, who's been run down from this world system. Listen to me. He's been run down from this world system because of the thieves who come to kill, steal, and destroy, stripped him of his righteousness, of his clothing, listen, and wounded him and left him half dead. To me, this is the lost individual that has become your neighbor. This is Jesus talking. Y'all look at that man praying. But this is the definition of who your neighbor is. Have you ever been around somebody who was wounded? Because yeah. One thing I'm about to talk about that's going to wow your mind. Get ready, I'm going to say it in a different way. Have you ever come across somebody who was wounded, half dead, spiritually? And what you decide to do is walk over and keep going because you know they're going to slow you down. They won't stop you from getting the grace of destiny. So what you decide to do is, I will turn the other way. I ain't got to deal with it. Who's your neighbor? It's him. It's that half spiritually dead guy, girl, who needs your ministry. Somebody going to heaven today. We get ready to get our tickets straight today. Amen. Amen. So he says from this scripture, I think this is the lost that he describes. He describes who your neighbor is. If he's a next door neighbor who goes to church every Sunday, probably loves the Lord better than I do. But his dog hit my leg, and I that ain't my neighbor.
It's Mary.
Also, I need to fix that. Hey, man, I need to fix that. I need to fix that. He's sickly right now. I got to fix it. But not necessarily that's my name. He may be, but not necessarily. But I figured out, just because he's next door to me, don't make him my name.
That's right.
This is my picture of my name. Stripped of his clothes. Thieves, the name is world. The world of God.
Yeah.
Broke down. Half dead spiritually. And he needs your ministry. That's true. And as you think, because I'm thinking, as I think, I can think of 20 people off the top of my head that literally in that place that I decided to step on because they were slow down destiny. We got some fixes. We got some reference finding. People in our past that's holding up our future, that's holding up my eternity.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm holding up. A neighbor, and it's someone who's lost. Number two, I believe now he begins to go on to talk about. To me, this is an indictment of the church. You're going to see what I'm talking about in a minute. It's an indictment of us. Jesus has been getting ready to take us to the courtroom. He's getting ready to see. Do you know who your neighbor is? And are you in jeopardy not having inherited eternal life. I know that was all me that I got. Number two. So now this is the indictment. Now I want you to write this down. We dealt with the laws. Who is the definition of our neighbor? Now I want you to write the word in here now, because he's getting ready to talk about you getting ready to indict the church. Look what he says. I want to start over because I spent so much time setting that up. And Jesus answering said in verse number 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment or his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. The word of the Bible. 31. And by chance, this is the leader, by chance, there came down a certain priest. Now, who came down?
Certain priest.
This was a certain priest. Now, in that day, the priest was the leader of the church. I think about this. Because God's about to break down. Jesus is about to break down the church and tell you why we are all sinners and all bad. This was a priest. This was the leader of the church. Amen. This was the one that came, and he was the one that got redemption from in the Holy of the Holies. Back in the Old Testament, the priest's job was to go and represent God in your behalf. He was your representative.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe the Bible begins to talk about the church leaders today. Look, me, in my group, I'm hoping somebody's listening that's in church leadership. And I think it's holistic church leadership. But God is requiring for us, for a priest. And I can't get this that further, but y'all want to hear this. But the Bible says now we are in Christ Jesus. We're a royal priesthood. All of us are priests. Could he be talking about all of us? I'm saying something now. But I think it's an indictment of the church again. And I think he started from the top. And Jesus said, why the church down? He better tell them a thing or two. So it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. He came right down where this dude had just got ripped up half dead. I mean, just a mess. I mean, the world and God. And look what he did. And when he saw him, he looked up and passed out on the other side of the street. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. And walked on the other side of the street today. I have to go back to the question. How many times have we gone to the other side of our street? When it's time for us to be the priest God called us to be. I'm saying something. How do you love your neighbor? First, you identify who they are. Then, when you see them, understand what Jesus is saying is that the church leadership at this time decided to go the other way. How many people you like come to church today that needed your Jesus? That should be sitting beside you right now. I don't know. I bring that up just because I'm talking about me. And let me tell you what priests do. We're going to make excuses. I can't stop right now. You don't have church service. I can't do that right now. This man is blood. My priestly outfit, he take blood in the earth. I feel good in front of the people. Somebody else. I see my excuses we need. Excuses. So we begin to talk about leadership, church leadership. This is the indictment. And we as church leaders, we as priests, have we been guilty of bad relationships? Even with the lost, those that need our ministry. Number two, because I see y'all losing ground on it. Verse number 32. He identified and defined who the neighbor was because it was the lost person. Number two, we said he was the leader. Now go to Luke 10:32. Look what it says. Because he begins to talk about now another segment of the church. Look what he says. Luke 10, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan. I'm sorry. Did I skip a verse?
Yeah.
Go back to that verse I skipped. I don't know.
31.
32. And he was there for that. And I'm telling you all. And likewise, a Levite. So write down Levite. Who was the Levite that? Well, the Levites, their job was they took care of the church. They were assistants to the pastor. What I call leads, not leaders, these Levites, I call them regular church folks. And it's interesting what the regular church folks is, because it's similar to what the leaders do. What you see is what you do, brother. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, he came and leads the church folks, came and looked at the guy. Period. And then what he did, he knew that and went to the other side. Amen. I'm talking to somebody. So, not only was the leader, then Jesus was masterful in how he dealt with the church at this time. He dealt with the leaders. Now he's dealing with the regular church folks. Everybody else. How many times have we walked into a situation of need and it was just too heavy for us? There's some folks, man, I want to put myself out there, but I'm scared that y'all won't judge me. Don't worry about it. But it's just so many people. See, when we first got saved, the common practice was, you took people in your house. You know, you need a little help. I'm looking at y'all yelling at me like I'm half. And I got green tea. But what I'm telling you is, we would take people who of a needed ministry. We take them in and we fill them up. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Us folks who've been saved for some time. We would take them in. At one point, they called the house the inn.
Yeah.
So we had some. At one time, Gwyneth and I had, Gwyneth, would it be at least five families? At one time, living with our family. We take them in.
Amen.
We think we're gonna chase them up.
That's a wound. That's a demon.
The wound has a guy.
Right.
Then
y'all should do it.
Today's church could care less about people in need. When's the last time you took somebody in?
That's true. You saying something?
I'm looking around the room. Y'all trying to see who could be, because all y'all look cold. Amen.
Right.
I'm going somewhere.
Amen.
Oh, pull me up. But it's so interesting that we now have gotten to a place where, in our Christianity, we've got sophisticated.
Oh.
We figured out now how to bypass. Come on now. How to bypass the word. And now we got a generation of faith people who are not ministered to. And now they're coming up in leadership. Don't have care in the world.
I don't know where it comes
from. But it's a real people.
It's hot.
And lies are being. Look, I don't think the judgment was put on is only about how many.
Yeah.
It's going to be how the quantity of the world.
Yeah, because they were wrong.
Have you paid?
But when you did it, see?
But
you made that last one.
On the other side of the street. This week, this month, have you passed them? And I'm not telling you to make your house a hotel. But there needs to be some concern. If we're going to be neighbors, we're going to take care of our neighbors. The Bible says to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
All right.
The same way I love me, I'm saying something to somebody. I should extend that care to us. Amen. The room is quiet.
Well, that's what the word say. That's what the word say, Pastor.
We're going to be, listen, if we're going to have exponential growth 2015, if we're going to be the church, I'm telling you now, this church that's going to explode is going to be because we love our name.
Yeah.
We figure out how to love God with everything we got. But we're about to simplify the neighbor.
Yeah.
And we're loving the neighbor now. Just like we love ourselves.
Yeah.
And likewise, the Levite, church folk, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Don't be that. Let me tell you something that becomes a daunting task, because I've been there. Anytime you decide to take your time to point to somebody, it's going to take, listen to me now, because I've done it. It's going to at least take 3 years out of your life. 30-minute process. You're going to have to pour yourself, and most of us that have been there, the reason why we're passing over, because we remember the process. And after 3 years, they still may do you wrong.
Yes, they do.
But the Bible gives. The Bible gives me these church folks a pass. Listen to what the Bible says. The indictment was the leader passed by.
Which one?
And then here comes the Levi, the regular church folks. Now go on down to verse number 33 is what we're gonna kind of simulate the ending of this thing. But a certain Samaritan, let me talk about Samaritans for a while. These were half-breed Jews. These Jews, when the diaspora happened, when the Israelites and, you know, Jerusalem got torn down, these were the ones that stayed back, these Jews. The reason why they call them half-Jews is because they intermingled, see, all these Gentiles, these heathens started moving into the region because the Jews were gone.
Okay.
They started moving in, they started intermarrying. And what they were producing was these idol worshiping folks. Amen? These folks that didn't have an idea on how to serve God. So these Samaritans were hated by the Jews. So it's interesting, when this certain Samaritan came up, these guys were hated by the Jews, and this Jew was laying in the street, beaten down by the word of God. I'm saying it's good stuff now. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. He came to the same guy. And this guy, somebody who didn't even know this guy. Didn't know God, I don't think. Samaritans, they got out, they were half-breeds. But didn't have the relationship that these church leaders and these Levites had. Left the man, saw the man in the street. Look what he did. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on. That's why I call this particular person the love person. Let me tell you something. We have judged each other based on how we look. That we're Christians. Jesus based the neighbor and the real church on somebody who really has love for somebody. So his judgment on who is really the Christian is the one. I don't care if you are Samaritan. I don't care if you don't look like a Christian. You may not say praise the Lord all the time.
Good.
You may not know how to pray the worship and how to do the holy day like I do. You may not know the church lingo. But if you got love in your heart, let me tell you what Jesus said. You're going to know my disciples because they're going to love you the right way. So what our perception of the church is, Jesus is talking about something totally different. You could be a Samaritan, a half-breed. You could have come into this thing a whole different way. All Jesus requires that you love him and that you must be made.
That's first and second commandment.
Oh, my goodness, if I was jumping up in the living room when I saw it. But it's interesting now. How many do we know that serve the Lord in this capacity? Some, of course, we are.
Amen.
We're going somewhere.
Amen.
We're going to serve the God through love. Let me say, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's the love he had. So, God ain't necessarily caring if you're a leader. He don't care if you're a leader. Church folks. God wants to know if you have love in your heart.
That's right. That's right.
Those who are in need. Do you love them? And let me tell you what love is an action word. It ain't talk. It ain't just talking about it.
Like
love is when
speakers.
You show love. I might know I love her. Not because I say it. I show her.
All
right. Amen.
Amen. The good Samaritan.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, love it. Love it.
Love
it. Yeah, love it.
Did you get what you need?
Uh-huh. You got love. Come on back. Come on back. But it becomes very vital that we understand. Let me go through because my time is about up. Verse number 34. Look what he said. 34 says.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. And went up and went to him. Now, This is this Samaritan, this half-breed, this person we thought didn't know Jesus. They sitting in the back of the church now. We never recognize. But they taking care of God's business, but they never have been asked to come up front. No, these are the real believers. Because they care. Listen to me. He went up to him and he bound his wound. This guy took the bloody mess this guy was and he spent his time bounding up these wounds. Had to be bloody work. What I love about this Christian or understanding who real Christians are, people have to go in bloody. They don't mind their elbows and knees getting ashy in the process of being a Christian.
Amen.
Am I saying something? And then he went up and bound his wound, then he poured oil, pouring it all in wine. I liken it to the anointing. So not only did this guy come fix up these wounds, come fix up these broken places, then what he did was he showed him to be anointing himself. And anointing is nothing but a difference maker in a believer's life. Then nothing comes from him, but he shines through us. But we'll make a difference in somebody's life. Come to break yours. And then he set him on his own beast. Put him in the Bentley. You know what, you can't ride this car. Let me go get my truck. You're not riding this car. Put him on the beast. Back then that was they ride. And I would imagine if you put him on the beast, he must have walked beside while he rode the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, this gets to be a Christian, and I see all y'all getting as mad as you can. I don't care. And brought him and took him to an end. Now, y'all gonna love this. What's the end? In this, symbolically, brought him to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Place where folk come for refreshment.
Yeah.
They come to get themselves right.
Yes, right.
So what he understood is that these empty chairs, they need folk who need Jesus.
Yes.
Broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in. To get plugged in with more powerful messages, DVDs, books, or downloads, please see us at spmatlanta.org. If you would like to come visit us at one of our Sunday services, we're located at 2697 Tulsa Road in Decatur, Georgia. And remember, just as Jesus said, go away and sin no more. You've been listening to Autonomous Porch Ministry.